From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm awe-inspiring anchorman Bill Curtis. And here is your host at Red Rocks Amphitheater in Colorado, Peter Sagal.
Well, hello. Thanks, Bill. Thank you, everyone. It is so great to be here at Red Rocks. This is this natural amphitheater in the mountains west of Denver. It's made famous, of course, by that amazing live performance we've all seen by John Tesh in 1994. If you've never seen it, just watch PBS for an hour or so. It'll come up. Now, this is the first show we've done in Colorado since the legalization of marijuana in this state. I'm sure all of you here expected us to make a lot of jokes about it. Nope. We are just going to let Bill Curtis right here have the last word on this topic. And that word is...
Whoa.
That was deeply felt, Bill. That was well done. Later on, Olympic skier Michaela Schifrin joins us to talk about how to get high the old-fashioned way via ski lift. But first, it's your turn. Give us a call. The number, of course, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, Peter.
Hey.
This is Ken Sear from Lovewood, Lyons, Colorado, the epicenter of the flood.
Lyons, Colorado? Are you one of those, like, diehard Coloradans always, like, exercising and stuff?
Well, we moved here from New Jersey last year, 10 weeks before the floods, and loved it.
How has the adjustment gone, New Jersey to Colorado?
Well, we survived Hurricane Sandy without power for 11 days, and now we're here. At least we have power, but some of the other facilities are not happening.
Do you ever blame yourself? They shouldn't just have a weather map. They should just trace where you go.
Ken, let me introduce you to our panel this week here on stage at Red Rocks. First, host of The Morning Amp on Vocalo.org and a comedian performing July 27th at the Punchline Club in San Francisco, it's Brian Babylon is right here.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
And next, a comedian coming back to Colorado to perform August 9th at the Chautauqua Auditorium in Boulder, it's Paula Poundstone.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for staying there, because it's nice here.
And lastly, an author whose groundbreaking new novel will probably get written one of these days, it's Tom Baudette.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
So, Ken, you're going to start us off with Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus, Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail, or whatever you got. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right, your first quote comes from a man in Brazil.
We will face people making fun of us for the rest of our lives. How am I going to tell this to my grandchildren?
That man was talking about the most embarrassing defeat his country has ever faced. In what?
The World Cup.
Yes, indeed, the World Cup. Very good. Brazil was, in fact, beaten by the German team by a score of 7-1, a score so interesting, many Americans didn't think it was even allowed in
right.
soccer.
It's created a new number. They now call 7-1 a Brazilian.
Yes. This was beyond a humiliation for the Brazilians. Soccer is... It's not just their sport, it's their soul. It's as if a bunch of Germans came over and beat the Brazilians at crotch waxing. Try to sympathize.
They're good at that.
How is that judged? Is it based on pain or lack of pain?
Yeah. The way they fake the injuries, you know.
No,
Well, you know, a lot of people are saying also that this was like, you know, like the Brazilian team was like cursed, or this could have been witchcraft because it was so out of, you know, there was so many...
What do you mean a lot of people? Who have you heard say it could have been witchcraft?
Oh, like everybody.
Oh, yeah. Multiple people. There's like on the internet...
Hermione
like...
and Ron said that.
No.
I've enjoyed the games, although when they don't score, is that typical? The thing where
that's
they
more play, typical.
They play the whole game and they don't score?
Right. Yeah.
My kids, my sons are involved at soccer at a pretty high level, second grade, and And there's a lot more scoring.
They could have subbed in for the Brazilians and probably done a little better.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you think the guy who runs the scoreboard ever feels useless? Must be so exciting. We're like, one! Whoa! Light it up, Bob!
Ken, here's your next quote.
So sue me.
That was somebody recently threatened with a lawsuit by the House of Representatives. And he says, bring it on. Who's sounding a little cocky?
Yeah, that'd be President Obama.
President Obama, indeed, yes. It's the middle of the second term, and the president is no longer interested in pretending he likes you. In a little over 6 years, Obama has gone from yes, we can, to so sue me. Speaker John Boehner took his dare. On Thursday, Boehner filed papers for the House of Representatives to sue the president for unilaterally delaying one part of Obamacare. That's it.
Huh.
How dare you, sir, delay one part of a law we all loathe?
You know what they should do? I'm tired of all this rage. How about this? You remember in the good old days? You remember that movie Over the Top where Sly Stallone
arm wrestling
for custody of his child?
That's a classic film.
We need to go back to this arm wrestling.
Just have
you
him arm wrestle.
Right. You said I'm right here. I'll arm wrestle you. And if I beat you, you shut the hell up. And it's like that. You go to work. If I beat you, you go to work. I'm not playing games. And he just goes crazy.
It's really hard for me to believe right now that I'm surrounded by two men who both saw the arm wrestling movie.
Over the Top.
Oh, yeah. That's a guy thing.
That's when you
can... That's not a guy thing. Yeah. That's an idiot thing. That's...
Ken, here's your last quote. It's a historical quote. It's from some private letters that President Warren G. Harding wrote a century ago, but were only released this week.
I wish I could take you to Mount Jerry.
So this week, we finally got written confirmation that Warren G. Harding, who we thought of as the most boring of American politicians, definitely had a what?
A mistress?
Yes, he did. That's one of the acceptable answers, yes. According to these 100-year-old love letters finally released this week, President Harding was, as far as we know, the only president with a nickname for his staff of chief, if you follow. In these letters to his mistress, the wife of his best friend, he constantly refers to, quote, Jerry, and how much Jerry misses her, how, quote, Jerry came and will not go, and how often he and Jerry talk about her. Because back in that old-fashioned age, the way to a woman's heart was providing transcriptions of your conversation with your own crotch.
And I'm curious, was the name Jerry much more masculine back then? Because Jerry doesn't sound like a real macho...
This was a pre-Jerry Lewis Jerry.
Right.
This was, you know...
I mean, what about, like, Ronaldo? You know, give me a little panache.
Ronaldo?
Yeah, Ronaldo misses you. Ronaldo wishes he can be on top of you. Ronaldo, yeah!
But wait, isn't that a Brazilian name?
It is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah,
Now that we know this, we're looking forward to finding out what other presidents might have called their constant companion. Lincoln, obviously, went with rail splitter. Now, Theodore Roosevelt didn't have a name. He just liked to say, I'm speaking softly. Now guess what I'm carrying.
Now that's... You can use that one today and kind of win.
Yeah.
That was good.
Bill, how did Ken do in our quiz?
Ken did the right move when he got out of New Jersey and came to Colorado. Perfect score.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Ken, and welcome to paradise.
You bet.